Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello, welcome to our call today, our seventh call in the normal time zone of without daylight savings. So I hope everybody's made it we might have some more people coming on noticing that time a little different now. We're starting at the regular clock, that regular time that really is so useful for our body to be in that normal time where our biorhythms are really in sync with the sun and the moon and the way it really should be. So maybe you're noticing that it feels really good to be in that natural time alignment. There's a lot we can speak about today. You might find that this call will be quite interesting. We're in the power module, and there's some questions and some suggestions that want to have some clarification on. But let's just start again, just a moment of silence, a few minutes to just come here present, just at will, very simply just being here as you are, learning to just let go at will of any involvement and to just like literally just let the waves of consciousness, the chit, the movement of the waves of the ocean, the movement of thought in the mind, to just let it sort of literally just subside and just being here. Welcome everybody else that came onto the call now, and if anybody has Facebook open, maybe you can make a note in the group that it is daylight savings. I'm not sure, some people are, I see, still missing, and I'm going to start to answer some questions, and then I will talk a little bit about something that you might find quite interesting, and transmitting also the power along with it. So the first question is from Barbara. Thanks, Barbara. You would like to know the difference between awakening and Kundalini awakening. Great question. Kundalini is that primordial light, that original source light that basically moved down, you could say, from the crown chakra down into the base of the spine and densify through all the, let's use the chakra analogy here. The chakras become denser and denser in frequency from the top down. So from the top, the crown chakra is infinite, and then it goes down and basically becomes solid, you could say. It just like the body, we solidified, we as spirit moved into an embodiment, into a fetus, and basically became dormant. So the kundalini is coiled 3.5 times because everything cycles, power, energy, is cyclical. So we're now shifting from the experience of jhana, which is here and now, what's the truth here and now, into the experience, the spiritual experience of movement and evolution. And to evolve means even being cyclical. So there is a 3.5 revolution, even we could say it, to revolve, of the kundalini, which is basically in the base of the spine, and of course everybody knows that. Now, when you wake up, what do we wake up to? We wake up to who we really are, and that's with awareness of self. And that awareness is in your soul. The soul is the consciousness. Body doesn't have awareness in itself, you could say. The soul itself contains a point of light, an awareness. And so when you as an ego, which is unconscious, and it's just like a robot, it's a bunch of programming, when you basically suddenly, like, the lights go on inside of your head and you realize, oh, you have sort of suddenly you become present to something, you can step out of attractional aversion and you can actually remain present. You're awake. You're like, oh, like eyes open. And so you're awake. And once that identification is permanent, then we talk about an awakened person. So, but what is a kundalini awakening? A kundalini awakening means that the solidified, you could say, silent, dormant, primordial power, that fire of existence, is wakes up and basically like a snake that is first coiled and then strikes upwards. That is when we speak of a kundalini awakening. So, and kundalini awakening is power. So in that case, the awakening is more physical, more kinesthetic. You're experiencing the typical things that we talk about when we... everything you can describe, basically, you know, lights, explosions of light, this, that, sensations, kriyas, and all these things. And of course, they are, for most of you, they are both happening at the same time. And you have a kundalini awakened, and you have, and you're awakened to your, just the pure awareness itself as who you are. So I hope that makes sense. To wake up, you don't necessarily need kundalini, yeah? But when you are awake, when you are moving out of attraction aversion into neutrality, you're in Sushumna, right? You're not an Ida or Pingala, like that crosses over constantly the electric and magnetic forces that constantly basically have a dance with each other. But you're basically leaving that behind. You're shifting into Sushumna channel. Now, when you are identifying with Sushumna, with presence, I am that, you could say, it becomes a magnetic, because presence is like an electric pole to the kundalini, which is magnetic on the bottom. And so it pulls then the kundalini and awakens it, and then the kundalini pulls up. So somebody who woke up, yeah, to who they are as consciousness, they will then naturally, automatically spark the kundalini, because then, as I spoke in Module 1, once you fully awake, then enlightenment starts. And where does the light come from? What is becoming enlightened? Well, that's the physical dimension, including the spiritual dimension, like everything that you can talk about, everything in duality, be it gross or subtle. And that's when then basically Kundalini goes about and starts transforming and also putting everything to zero point. It becomes then a marriage of Shiva and Shakti, of electric, magnetic, in each point within your physical existence, and until everything is absorbed into oneness and you would literally turn into light. That would be the Kundalini awakening. So, well, for some people, Kundalini awakening just happens before they even awake. Because, and why? Because they have done something in their past lives, and they come with that particular karmic disposition. And so it just can happen like that. And that's kind of scary, because those people will go to a psychiatrist and they don't know what's going on, often get misdiagnosed. If you have enough awareness and stability, you can easier recognize and have a sense what is happening has a spiritual dimension to it, and you can sort of start walking the path of balancing these forces within yourself. So if you want to know anything else further to that, please just ask. There was another question, and the question was about house clearing and about foreclosures and house clearing, and how does that relate to this module. I'm just going to take a little bit of water. And is that because we're dealing with energy right now, and so the world of energy, and the question was, if I remember correctly, I don't have it in front of me right now, is that often when a house was in foreclosure, whenever a person, a family or a person buys the house, then that often, again, there's a foreclosure. Then again, it seems to repeat itself. And we do know that like attracts like, and energy has a certain frequency. It's a particular expression of some kind of event and what to do about it. Now, the question of clearing these kinds of things, because who doesn't want a house that's a little cheaper and then basically move in there and have a wonderful house and get rid of all the energies? Now, there could be lots of reasons for that. I mean, it starts with on what location is the house in terms of the point on the planet. Is this a higher is this a higher vibratory point, or is this a point that is more of negative? Then the other thing is just the environment. You know, of course, if it's the slums, there'll be more foreclosures, because, you know, as much as you prep up the frequency, you're going to still be a target, and there's going to be conflict of some sort. So you're always a part of the collective that is hard to come out, or you have so much energy and something else starts changing in your environment. So that will be sort of radical, unusual situations. But let's say it's just a regular neighborhood, and there's a house that got foreclosed because the couple got divorced and it fought always in that house, et cetera, et cetera. The question is, like, how to clean it best, you know, like saging and such things. I would say, of course, there's a million things you can do, and they all include things like from sound, from bells to smudging, like smoke, to chanting, to everything, you know, all the elements you can involve, light, fire, candle, etc. People, house parties, house warming is all about that, bringing love and gifts and prosperity and having a nice party, eating a meal together. These are all very cleansing, but you have to ask yourself, everybody has to ask yourself, what's my strength and what's my weak link? So it really depends. The technique is not really what heals. The technique is the one that is using, the one that carries the consciousness, the awareness, is what heals it. If there's somebody, let's say a drug addict is going to come in and smudge your house, well, how much will that be effective? How effective will that be? Except if there is a beautiful, very pure-hearted person walking through your house, just simply enjoying your house, it's going to be way more purifying than somebody with a low frequency doing a massive ritual around it. So you have to ask yourself, what is easy for you? How do you link up? What is most real to you? How can you channel your intent best when you want to correct the frequency of a house? If your talent is to cut cords, and that's really, and when you do this, that's the best thing you can, that's really so powerful, and you're always so good at that, well, then use that technique. It's like some people, they're really good foot reflexologists, and they can heal anything just by pressing some spots on the foot, where there's maybe 100 others people who do foot reflexology, and they just kind of give you good relaxation, and maybe your digestion's a little bit better, but that's it. But there is another person that might actually just get rid of incredible diseases that might need surgery, or other interjections from doctors, you know, through medications, etc., that then just fall away and aren't necessary. So your intent and your state of consciousness is the key. If your state of consciousness is so powerful, let's say you go into samadhi, well, when you sit in the house and go into samadhi, of course, you're naturally going to clean the house. You don't have to do anything. You just sit there and it happens, right? You can, of course, direct your intent more specifically. So, so this is all the realm of power, how to wield energy, what you do with your energy. And that brings me to something else that I was going to bring up here today that relates directly to this module. I spoke a little bit about awareness and how awareness creates in the first module. And I want to bring up the ring. If, for example, when you get married, you know, there's usually a ring involved. It's literally a symbolic ring. And what does that ring say? That ring says that I am married. I am married to somebody means it's a particularly stepping into a state of consciousness, a state of awareness. You're aware that now you're identifying as being a married person. There's movies, right? The Lord of the Rings and the Rings of Power. So rings are your level of power. And because awareness is infinite, and it doesn't have any modification in itself, it's just infinite. The only way it can modify itself if it creates basically a limitation. And the limitation is really the thought that I am such and such, and that's a ring of consciousness. And if you can follow me, for example, for a moment right now, I want to say something I haven't talked about before. And I'm going to give you a visual. You know, you have those three portals, one in the head, one in the heart, and one in the belly. And they're like a triangle. The top is basically just a point. We have the yana yoga, I am that and cannot be talked about. You stop thinking and that's it. Silence. There's no duality, no attraction, aversion. Now, as we go down, it's almost like you put the apex, you know, at the third eye, you could say. Now you go down, you come sort of, you know, a little bit out towards your shoulders, and you're now at the heart level. Now you can actually see the other side. You can see, you know, if you follow basically even the triangle down with your hands, your left hand is sort of in the left side, sort of by the shoulder of your heart on the right side. So, and if we then put namaste, basically, those two come together in relation. So the heart is really very dualistic. It's really here and there, this and that. And it can still see the other side as a opposite. It, in fact, sees the other as an opposite. Now, if we go further down, the triangle is moving out further, but when you come down towards the hip, it's the sides of the triangle, they're going further apart. At this point, you know, we're in a place of power, and it's much more complex. So there isn't a direct relationship anymore. So if we can now just forget about the triangle, and I'm going to use the ring itself. If you have the point of the Om, on top of the Om symbol, there's a point, right? So that point, if you take that dot, which is all of existence, from everything came from that point, and you begin to expand it, you turn it into a ring, correct? And Because if it's very small, the ring, when it's very small, you can actually still see the other side. It's like a lake where you can see the other side, the other shore, as you can relate to the other. Excuse me. And and then if you open up the ring further, now you are not relating to the other side anymore. It's like an ocean. You don't know where the other shore is. Suddenly you're lost. And all you have is you can go, you now can go along the shore, either to the right side or to the left side. So this is where time and space is born. You can go to your left, you go backwards, or you go forwards into the future. You're always where you are. That's your present. And so you're walking along that ring, basically. If you go to the future, you go to the right side. Now, you know, you go to the future. You're actually literally coming back to the past. And if you go into the past, you're coming to the future. So you've probably heard this before. The past and future are really the same thing. It's a ring of awareness that you are now stuck on, whatever that is. So I hope you can follow me so far. Now, the life that you're living right now, and who you are and who you identify to be is a particular state of consciousness, and that is your ring that you're in that has a past. You can go travel down into in your mind, and you can also go into the future. What's that person that you are right now going to do in the future? Okay, good. Now how does this module apply to what I just said? And I know this is going to be a steep learning curve, because if this is your first year, you're seeing like fourth module is quite packed. We've done a little bit of hard stuff. We've done some basic foundation stuff. Now we're going to, there's a lot going on, but don't worry. Just use it and just let yourself be transformed. And for those that have been around for a year or two, just allow yourself to continue to evolve and take this deeper and deeper and deeper. And so now, because I'm not just speaking but also transmitting, so let's give me a moment here. So until my thoughts come back together in proper sentences. This module in particular invites you to learn how to not lose energy and how to basically get more energy, because this is the approach that is where you are basically making jumps out of a ring of awareness that's very tight and very limiting into a larger ring with more power. The larger the ring, there's more power. And also, how can you make a jump out of one way of seeing yourself and the world into something completely different, which can include, which is often reflected in what you think of yourself, the people that you're around, the finances you have, the condition of your health. All these things are basically the manifestations of that are directly related to what you know of as your state of frequency, which is the awareness ring you are in. Because remember, awareness is infinite. It doesn't have any beginning or end. It is just a little wave that comes out like a dike. It makes a little ripple up, and it is basically connected. If it was a ripple here and there through consciousness, you would be crazy, right? You wouldn't know who you are. You would be completely lost and fragmented. That's insanity. But you're not insane. You have a very strong sense of who you are. You say, I am this person. And you have a sense of clarity. And so there is a closed space of awareness, you could say. And that's why it's a ring. So coming back to your wedding ring, this is just an experience that we are all familiar with. When we put that ring on, we step into this belief, into this way of seeing. Now, in order for you to step out of what you're experiencing right now, let's say being really unconscious, suffering, etc., and you want to step into a ring of enlightenment, you could say, then you need to change, and you need to acquire power, and you need to stop losing power. And so this is what this module starts you with. So this is where you're going to look at your life and make a little overhaul in order to tighten up things and so that you can actually prepare yourself to handle way higher frequency and way more power. In the context of this module also, I would like to talk a little bit about astrology because it is super important right now. We're having this new moon and Scorpio coming up on the 7th, and I've been noticing this for a few days already, like the whole 2-3 weeks already. There's just some massive changes ahead, and we're all, I think, going to change quite a lot. And something is basically going to, you know, finish, and something new is going to start. So if you clean up some things in your house already, you know, clean up a drawer or something and move some things around maybe that always bothered you, you might become more aware, more conscious of what that is that wants to be born now, a new awareness ring, a new level of awareness that is making, gives you more room to breathe, allows you to hold more space for yourself, and that is transformative and helps you to also stabilize yourself for what I see is going on in the world, a tremendous amount of fragmentation and movement. So you want to become more and more powerful in order to be able to handle those rocky waves. So I hope you are going to enjoy. We're going to have another call coming before the new year, of course, but we have a study month next month, and so have a lot of fun with this module. I think this is because it's more hands-on and more easier for the mind to digest than a pure yana, and you might find this resonates with you. Okay, so enough of me talking now, and I'm going to just take Sandra's hand here. Sandra, hi. I'm going to unmute you. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. I don't have a real question. I just want to say hi.
Oh, okay.
It's been a long time.
I know, it's been a long time. Yeah, that's, no, that's great. Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah. You know, you are all settled into your new house, and everything is just going good with you there?
Yeah, I love it here.
And oh, good. Good. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I have more energy, and yeah, there is, the environment is beautiful, more trees and woods.
And less wind,
yes,
right? Yeah. And less wind. Yes. You said it was very windy where
there's
you were
wind,
before.
Yes, but I really loved it, the trees and woods. And yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay, well, now that you're here, let's just sit here for a moment quietly because I haven't really talked to you in a while. All right. You can hear some lawnmower or something. Okay, thanks, Sandra. I'll let you go.
I don't know what you were hearing, but not here.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, this is Reem. Hi, Reem. How are you?
Hi, Aratima. How are you? Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything. I have a question that's been on my mind for a while about one's dharma. How do you fulfill your dharma? Do you know your dharma? And how to work around it? It's been on my mind for a long time. And then recently, I've sort of released it, or I'm not thinking about it anymore. So my question is, how is it important to know one's dharma? Or can we...
Not at all, because when your karma is what is basically the clouds over the dharma, you could say the blockages. So as you release your karmas and you come out of, you're living not, when you're in your core, when you shift out of karma and you live from your core, you're naturally living your dharma, right? You don't have to go looking for it. It's already who you are. You just you can either just repeat your karmas over and over again, or you get off that stuck record, you know, and just kind of be real, right? Be really yourself. which is sort of living without a net, because you don't really know it. The ego doesn't. Ego is always about repeating things that it knows, but living really who you are is kind of the unknown.
Okay, because I've always been in a sort of seeker mode, and then all of a sudden I found myself not doing anything really, not seeking, not looking. And
good.
Then I was like, I don't know if this is okay, if this is going to last. And then all of a sudden I was like, where am I going? What do I do? Maybe it's not important. So I just, you know.
That's good. I love hearing that, because now this power that the ego, this momentum, this personal will that constantly runs away from death and wants to control life, it just stopped. You're literally surrendering more to just being here. And this is where the more you can just sit as consciousness without moving, like you're just here, right? And there's a little bit of like, okay, like what you described, like, oh, now what do I do? Because the mind is like, okay. Yeah, you just stay there and just fine-tune deeper into this. But, you know, even how you go through the day, like I always say, fine-tune, where does my next step take me? Does it take me into the kitchen? Do I go over here? Do I call this person? What? Like, use your regular day to time what you do and how long. You know, let's say you check your email. How long? When do you need to get away from the computer? Mm-hmm. And so you kind of start noticing. You learn how to live off. Like, how do you understand what I'm saying? You're just tuning into
that exact
moment. How you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, there's a sort of constant mindfulness about everything, about surrounding, about
that's
being
right.
completely present. Yes,
exactly.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Good, thanks.
Thank
thanks, Shreem. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, and this is Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi there. That's so appropriate to follow her call, because I wanted to ask you, or first off, I went to California to finish up my sister's estate sale. We had to cut up a hot tub because there were rats in it. And having to plan that was just what you just mentioned to her. It was just kind of planning it, but putting it out there, and things fell into place all just perfectly. They just, and then we got to take the paint. But what I wanted to ask you is, I noticed when I was on this trip how I was around all of these places when I of growing up, so many memories, so many things, and I made sure to not go into that. I wanted to stay neutral, try and stay in the core. But when you were talking about the ring and going down the future or the past, and maybe, like you said, it's just a matter of taking it in and letting it just kind of settle in, but we're supposed to just be neutral. We're supposed to stay not in past memories, not, you know, make your mind twirl and worry. So, and
you do yoga or tantra. Yeah, sometimes when you, like, especially now with their, I think there was the astrology is taking us into these old timelines where memories from the past come up, and Venus is retrograde, so there's a lot about relations as well. So then you're in a tantric moment. It's or literally almost these feelings are rising from your tissues, and you're like literally really in it. So, but you're being mindful, you're present with it, so it flows through you, yeah? And you don't have to block it and push it away if you're already experiencing it. But if you're not really going out seeking them out because you're suffering, you're not like, you know, like some people are just, they're always in somewhere else because they're actually in pain, more like a drug. That's not what happened, right?
No, I just stayed neutral and thought of it kind of, oh, that's interesting, and then just kept going. And I felt so good. I had Sirius radio on the rental car, so I was able to drive around and be happy, and it felt so good, and I accomplished a lot, and it was, I could just feel there was a real shift of some sort on me feeling confident, me feeling comfortable, not worrying about other people, and staying away from toxic situations. And it was so amazing. I will be writing it in my essay.
Well, I can hear it in your voice. I'm sure everybody can hear it too. You're a different person today. Like, it's already coming up already. Like, there was sort of a progression, but it feels totally completed now, right?
pretty much. I mean, the house hasn't sold, but I've done what I could. And so I'm just kind of, part of me is standing back and looking at me going, who are you?
That's good. Ah, that's very good. Yes, that's right. So you're in this like, infinite awareness, no shape, no form. And that's really who you are. So being in that place is the safest. You're also not vulnerable because nobody can throw an arrow at you because you're not a target. Yeah.
Yes, and that so many things could go wrong, and my mind could go down a path of fear,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and I didn't. It didn't make any difference. And somebody said, "Well, safe travels. You know, hope there's no plane crash or anything." And I went, what's the worst could happen? It was very, you know, it didn't make any difference. I'll be fine no matter what. It was
awesome.
Very freeing.
Wow. This is amazing. Like, I mean, yeah, I know you haven't completed the house sale and all that, but you have completed something. You're in a totally new state of consciousness. Your ring awareness, to just repeat that word, you know, is completely new. And it contains for you, your reality now is that you are, can be present with things in neutral, and that's your new reality now.
And I can't see you in person, but I am putting my hands together in prayer and bowing to you and saying thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. No need, but yes, thank you. Yeah, you stuck it out. That's very good. So it's very good. Yeah, so now you just keep going. Now you just, you know, as you apply now the energy management techniques, you're going to be able to deepen this state of presence, and then things start, you know, accelerate and deepen, and it's very exciting. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And now we have Davi. Hi, Davi.
Hi, Arashima.
Hi. Did my email help you? Was that good?
Yes. Yeah, it helped. Thank you so much.
Okay, what's on your mind today?
It's interesting that you talk about time because I was thinking about it the last couple weeks, and I have a question about time. Basically, like, everything is the past. Even now, when I'm talking to you, it's still past, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how, and my question is, how can we live in a present moment or now? Is present moment is another illusion? And I know that in meditation we can go beyond time, but what about when we are not in meditation? And
you're present. No, you're present. Your presence, that which looks out of your eyes, is always in the now. But when you slip into the mind, then we're dealing with past.
And I just feel like maybe like that's why it's so hard for us in the present moment, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's actually true. Yeah, it is hard because it's there's always conflict because your soul is there's conflict between soul and ego, you could say, or the, I don't know, but. Being really showing up it comes down to acceptance. When you accept things, then ego stops seeking and pushing and pulling. And when you're in the moment of acceptance, this is what it is. Okay, good. Take a deep breath, right? And then you're noticing you can be present with it. You're shifting. Something's changing within you. And then you're actually more efficient at work or whatever you're doing. I remember a long time ago I talked about maybe the first course about my last job, my first and last job I had in Canada, that was employed. And I was just so efficient because I was awake that I got so much done, and where my boss would basically give other people a hard time because she would say, well, this person, she's getting it all done in like 30 hours and you guys need 60. So I was actually bored still, you know, in 30 hours because I was just so efficient because we run so smoothly and so with so much presence that will make you actually a star at work if you're really present.
Okay. So I am present. Like, I feel a little bit confused.
Did I confuse you? Okay. Can you ask me again? What's the question?
No, it's just because people nowadays, they say, oh, focus on the present moment and don't think about the past and don't think about the future. But in my head, I'm like, maybe present moment doesn't exist. That's why people have a hard time.
Yeah, you cannot think about the present moment. You can only be present. Even if you think about the present moment, what are you thinking about? Are you looking at the objects around you? Is that what you think? What do you think about what you're doing in the present moment? There's always a timeline, right? You're doing something. There's always movement. There's no present moment, really.
Yeah. So basically, the language we speak confuses us more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You're true. You're correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, make up a better language that works for you. Yeah, it's important. It has to work for you, right? It's like clothes. You tailor them so they fit you better.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's so funny, right? Because, you know, a lot of things we read are written by people who aren't awake. So it's based on, let's say, I think off of Buddhism, right? The present moment, mindfulness and all that. It's written and read also from the perspective of the reader. The reader is reading it and slotting it away in the level of understanding they have, right? So that's why it's good to read things over and over again. Okay, this is Anonymous. Who is that? There's no phone number, nothing. I unmuted you.
Hi,
yeah.
It's Deborah.
Oh, Deborah, okay.
Yeah, on Skype again.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. This is so wonderful. I'm just loving every second of this call.
Oh, good.
And, I just really wanted to sit with you and see if I could experience untetheredness.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. All right. And everybody can do that right now. It's basically, I always use that word untethered because it's really, there's energetic strings that we kind of attach ourselves psychically into the gross world. And so if you just let it all go and you're basically just pure awareness, you might use your breath and you just let go and let go and let go and just hear and just know and unveil what is already true. Because you're really not creating something. Good, so we're in a good place right now, Deborah. And now, you don't have to do anything, but I'm just saying the words, and it's so subtle, but it's almost like now, we're just going to even, it's just a knowing, you just follow my words, you're just allowing yourself to even drop away out of, you know, all that sort of bothers you, the identification that you are, Deborah. Just let that go too, there's no definition, her life. And all that is just what it is. And you're just even more and more giving more room to what's really here. How is that? How do you experience this yourself right now? Or do you have words for it?
Like being in a being in an ocean of light, or feel a little disoriented, a little
good. Okay, yeah, because you're looking, so don't do that. It's good. Just take away your attention. Disoriented also belongs to Deborah. Just drop out of it. You let that go too. And there's this ocean of light. Yeah. Okay. Good. And now you aren't even interested in that. And now there's an incredible silence right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Okay, good. And now you're even not interested in that. Even the silence doesn't matter. There you go. Something happened there. Can you speak?
I felt something shift.
Yes. And that shifting is a sensation, a kinesthetic experience when you untether yourself, right? Because there's literally psychic strings. And you're shifting out of a state of awareness into a new state of awareness. You're in a different state of awareness right now, correct?
Correct.
And each state of awareness is a ring that is complete in itself. And you can stay in this ring, you know, for a minute, and you can shift further, or you can stay in it for another 5-15 lifetimes. Doesn't matter. Ego is a state of awareness. It's a ring of awareness. And so what we're doing is when we meditate or we're sitting like this, we shift out of it, right? So you have the power, that's the mastery, to shift and constantly shift in and out of. I mean, if you're in never kappa samadhi, there's no ring of awareness because you cannot track infinite consciousness. You're gone. But then when you come back, sort of, it's almost like mind, when you slip back into mind and function in it, because you know we need a sense of I am this person that we kind of are in this world. But it should be like very spacious, large, not tight, and it shouldn't catch you. It shouldn't be a prison for you. You're the one who can make them. You can make them arise out of the infinite awareness and then also subside again. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So now with this knowledge, you know that Deborah, the idea of Deborah, and everything you know about her is just a state of consciousness. You're at will right now, just slip out of it again. Just slip out of it. Just don't even create another ring right now. Nothing. It's like a divorce. We're not married to that person we are right now. We're almost like divorce ourselves. Take the ring off.
That made another shift.
Nice. How are you going home today? That's good. Oh, all right. Well, I hope this helped give you. To me, like the power modules are one of the most fun modules because they give us this ability to just, it's just so creative. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. We can get very stuck in it, and those power modules, at the same time we use them correctly, they're just so amazing and they're so useful living in the world as an enlightened person. So. Okay.
I had been, for the few mornings, I had been listening to, before I do my meditation, I was just listening to the last call. I'd listen to the part where we were just sitting in the beginning, and then I would listen to Angela.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and then I got up and went to do some dishes, and it was like something happened, and it was like I was making love to my dishes. Like everything was just like orgasmic.
Yay!
What is happening?
What's happening? I know. Isn't that amazing? Oh my god!
Yeah. It was like, oh my goodness! It is beautiful. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. No, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I use this word. This is Lalita consciousness, by the way. I spoke about it a long time ago in the first module, I think, with Anya. Is the Lalita consciousness is where everything is an orgasmic lovemaking experience and very tantric. And because you and the dishes are also just pure consciousness, all you, right? And so now mm-hmm. there's no blockage, and you're starting to have that flow. And when there's a flow between you and the physical world, that very tantric experience, it's extremely pleasant. And it can be unpleasant, it's opposite, right? Which we call the suffering and this rigidity and block, and that, and like, you know, we feel so disconnected, depressed, and dead. And now you mm-hmm. have the opposite. So you enjoy it without becoming addicted to it. That's the key, right?
Right.
That's the key. Right. So you even let that go too. You enjoy it and you let yourself be carried mm-hmm. onwards. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Because I started trying to look for it again.
Ah, yeah,
when,
exactly.
it, when it went. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Deborah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. Bye. Bye. Yeah. That's good. Okay, Shelley, hi.
Yeah, hey there. How are you?
Mm-hmm, good.
I was wondering if we could do the same thing as kind of sit to see if you can see what's going on. I feel like I've been making, and again, here are where words get you in trouble, but I've been able to just sit in the meditations and be. The mind is still incredibly busy, and then I will have moments where I can really just hear the silence, even though the mind is going, but lots of movement. There's jerking, my eyes are jerking, and I don't know if it's a doing. I don't feel like I'm doing and trying. I feel like I'm just being, but something's going on, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, we know that there is, like I said, there's a new moon coming up, and this year has been very fragmented, and things are fragmenting more. And so we're going through, I used yesterday an analogy where, think of a sculpture, and you just kind of take a hammer and you knock it, and it turns into all these pieces of broken pieces, and all they need to be cleared through, and they don't just go right away. You don't flush them all at once. They clear the pieces, right? So, and that means fragmentation means lots of mental noise. So something old is probably going to be everybody's, you know, it's sort of, some people have it in a different way. They have more of a pleasant aspect, like Deborah talked about, or Angela had her awakening, you know, and all these things. But for some others, they're experience more of the noise moving through. And now, okay, let's sit for a moment. And right now, is your mind busy, by the way, during the call?
Yeah, it's, yeah. I'm going back and forth where I have moments, but more busy than not.
Okay, so, but there's also that one as you also conscious, and you're conscious that it's busy, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, stay with that one. Don't worry about all the busyness. Stay with the one that's conscious of it. Stay with that right now. And maybe we're using the same word that we used with Deborah, untethered. It's that you untether yourself from all this busyness, because it doesn't really matter. Maybe it's not even yours. It just belongs to who knows who. And now the person that is suffering and wondering what is all of this, that one right there, you also, okay, you untether yourself from that too. process of elimination. And then there's some emotions there. It's in the chin and the jaw and all that stuff. You just, even that, you just like shift yourself out of it. If you have a lot of power, that's what we need power for. We shift ourselves out of it, or we have to shift through it and experience it. Which one is better for you right now? Can you feel that grief?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Not at all.
What is it that you're experiencing then? You're experiencing something.
I would say tension. I'm feeling tension throughout the body.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
So you are in the awareness right now of tension. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you take your awareness away. You don't put your attention on it. Your awareness is just in you. How's that going?
I feel like I'm floating everywhere.
Okay. So there's
good or bad.
Similar to what Deborah described. Okay, this is very common, right? Because now you're not
mm-hmm.
tethered anywhere. So now the tension doesn't seem to matter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you're just floating everywhere. Okay. So now, this is also now an experience. Again, process of elimination. You're basically untethering yourself from the experience of floating everywhere. Just you don't even care about that. Good. Now you come into a moment of quiet, dark stillness. Did you catch that one? It's right there.
No. I think now. I can, you know, what happens is my eyes then keep jerking and opening up, and then it pulls me out.
Okay, then go with it. So in a tantric process, your body is having kriyas, so you're in a tantric process. That's fine. Let that happen. Because your body and your eyes is also thought. Do you remember you have movement of thought now on the physical level? Doesn't matter if it's quietly in the head or more outwardly visible. It's okay. Just let it happen. Let them flicker open. Let them go crazy. Doesn't matter. You have no concern what the body does. Let it do its thing. You stay again as such. And don't pay attention to the movements of the eyes. Nothing. You're interested in nothing. There you go. That's better. Did you notice that?
Yeah, very subtle. Mm-hmm.
It's subtle, exactly. It gets very, very subtle. So what might help you right now, and I know others as well, is that it gets subtler and subtler and subtler. And you think, oh, I can't do any more subtle than that. Oh, no, you can, and you have to. You have to commit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is more. You cannot leave any stone unturned. Nothing, because you're going into the unconscious, which tells me your body is moving, right? So tissue stuff. So it's going to become subtler and subtler and subtler. And sometimes you just have to hover like a cat at a waiting for a mouse. You know, you don't know is there a mouse or not, but you're just waiting. You're just being so still, and you know that there's another shift somewhere that will probably happen. But you can't make the shift happening. You're not doing
mm-hmm.
it. It will happen to you.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good. Okay. Great. Great. Yeah. It's tricky at this point now. Okay. Calgary. Hi.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Hi.
Ratima.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Wow. This call. Yeah. That was wonderful what you took Shelley through there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody. Whew, okay, I was gone with it. I'm trying to come back here. It's just like, whoa, yeah. That shifting awareness is just yeah, it's happening more and more. And this power module, you know, it's like new again, and the timing, you know, of course, is perfect. Uh-huh. It's like everything in it is really powerful.
It's exciting, especially right now with the new moon and all this energy and all, you know, it's like really exciting. I'm going to repeat this again, like Angela, you know, woke up and I still see three people, like really clearly, at least, you know, like two, three people. Very soon, you can make that shift. Just apply yourself. Just don't think that it takes a long time.
Okay. Yeah, getting rid of that idea and the sense of it, you know, like you repeat it often, the sense of it happening too, instead of trying to make it happen.
Right? Yes.
And that, you know, has really helped. A deeper sense of just waiting instead of, you know, and making instead of having to do something with the mind. Last night, my meditation, like I've had a lot of, you know, a really busy mind this week, but it hasn't been bothersome to, you know, at any level. And last night there was that reminder of what you say was there the whole time. And it was like thoughts. It was just like it was just being eaten up by the heart. That's what I expect was happening. But every time a thought came up, I just didn't care. Even the thoughts about the thoughts and then the stories that were coming in about the experience that I was having about everything burning up, right? Like all of it was just, for probably at least an hour there, it was just, it kept burning and burning and burning, and it just didn't matter. There was nothing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. And you even let the burning go. You're not even interested in that. So the interest in having things burn goes away too, because you are infinite awareness. What's there to burn, right?
Of course. Yeah. What came in last night for me was this, real sense of, like, I've been disidentifying as Winona more. And then last night it was that everything is illusion, and yet the I am, the self, is everything, even though none of it is me. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not my body. I'm not the illusion, but it is me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just all, you know, like,
yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because when you say I am this body, and you mean it as a true thing, then you have Deborah's experiences, a tantric experience that you then you're everything, including the toilet and the beautiful diamonds and all the people, the good and the bad. You are everything. You're either all or you are nothing, because fragmentation is illusion. Mind is fragments.
Right. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, that was the feeling. And I just wanted to also thank you for the session when we were speaking about the second Saturn return that I'm in, in this experience right now. And just with the power module, what a great thing it is, because there's just this acceptance now. Like there's no need to understand it all. But being aware of this is where I'm at has helped the commitment of going deeper, right? If there's anywhere to go. I know there isn't anywhere to, you know what I mean? Like there's this.
Yeah,
like,
Saturn. Saturn is the primordial yogi, right? He is the yogi. He rules time and space. He's the last planet before you basically exit, like, all the different lower planets. You know, he's Kronos, time. Without time, you know, your bodily experience would not be an experience for you. So so you can take more advantage of this time, as I understand.
That's the sense, and such a sense of relief of this is where I'm at, and it's so exciting, along with this power module and the time that we're in and everything. It's just like
big strides, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for it all.
You're welcome. Okay.
Thanks,
Anna. Thank you. I think at this point, for those that are here in the first year, at this, once you come to this module now, you can probably see that, and I know, I don't know if it was Barbara or Patricia, one of you, have basically adjusted your life, your outer life. You don't have that split anymore. Oh, there is like me and my life, and then there is the spiritual practice I do. So you probably went past that dichotomy and you realized that all of your life is a yogic thing and that you're basically using everything and have realized that this is the only way you can actually really wake up. And so at this point, you, everything in your life is set up. It's a game of power, basically. Now, where do you basically gain more momentum to jump into that infinite awareness that you are? So you set your whole life up like that. This is Rosemary now. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Retima. Thank you for what you just said. You said it directly to me.
Okay. This is just coming through, yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to take 10 seconds and thank you for allowing us to be in this forum and this call. And something I realized that there's actually too many things and my brain is not working very well. So forgive me for that. But
no problem.
There's this ring that you talked about. There's a couple of things that I wanted to just ask and also mention. The ring that you talked about is seems very important, or maybe a next phase or something. For the last week, last 10 days, I feel like I've been incredibly vulnerable to everything around me. Mm-hmm. Massive stuff has been coming through me.
Emotions and thoughts, or
yeah,
conscious of them,
a lot
or,
of, like, I'm sorry.
Are you conscious of them, or is it more unconscious stuff that you're just?
No, it's pretty conscious. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Well, it hasn't been fun.
Okay.
Not too much fun. So. And I notice how that when these deep waves come up, I've been hit with massive depression, and I think, okay, well, we're cleaning out, or you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I don't even want to talk about it in some ways, but I realize that, like, when I go out into the world, and I feel like I'm a pincushion. Things that are said to me, I just feel the intensity or the hurt or whatever. I don't know why this is going on, but
okay, and yeah, because you're more vulnerable. Good. Let's use this ring of awareness to assist you with this, because you know you're now. This is an experience, right? An experience of sensitivity and the way you described it, and that's your level of awareness. Do you remember when you were here at the retreat, I used a big sheet and I created like this, I bunched it up, made a ring like a dike? That is the ring of awareness, right? So, you know, you're in a particular ring of awareness that is now more spacious and talks about, you know, sensitivity, and also your awareness is you're becoming conscious of the pains in the world and all the darknesses and all these things, correct? And it's not very uplifting. So now this is a particular perspective which causes a state of awareness, a certain ring of awareness. Now, when you notice, okay, this is going on a little bit too long, I seem to be a little stuck here. Now, you're the master of your life, right? You have free will. Now, if you have a lot of power, the moment you become aware of it and you identify, you diagnose yourself that I am in a particular state of consciousness that I can describe as vulnerable such and such. Okay. And it's like a meditation what we did with Deborah and with Shelley. It's like, you are now untethering yourself from it. You are stepping off that ring because it can only arise out of the infinite consciousness. This wave comes only up because you are believing it. The moment you untether yourself, it subsides. It goes back into the infinite awareness. And so in the moment it moves back, all the junk, you know, all that stuff that you're like, okay, I'm done with this, it just goes back into infinity, back to source, you could say. And then a new ring will arise that will contain the maturation, because you've digested something, because you remember you are the infinite consciousness, you've digested something, and then new awareness arises that will have a higher, more light-filled, higher frequency perspective on everything you just described.
Yes.
Is this helping?
Yes, very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I do know that you're very connected with me, so, and I am basically, like I spoke about, digesting or shifting a tremendous amount of what is historically has sort of gone down on this planet and still going down right now in just the different versions of it. And so, and it's very, very dark, and I can handle a lot of dark, but, you know, I do collapse things. But I do sometimes take on big, big chunks. So I can be sometimes in a big chunk because I don't just want to constantly, what's the word? You know, it's like when you take the garbage out. I just take 5 bags at once instead of going 6 times or 5 times. So
okay.
I basically stay in a dark phase for days, sometimes weeks, because I can handle it. I know it's not real. And I basically accumulate, put all my backpack, and then I basically sink it back into consciousness. And then I shift it, you know.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
Helping? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we...
Oh my God.
I was aware that might be a little bit hard on some of you, but the thing is that it's just necessary. I mean, I keep doing
my God.
I'm just gonna, I am constantly, you know, expanding as well, so I have to stop.
Okay, I'm,
okay.
Okay. I can stick around now. Okay, thank you.
All right.
I'm, also, thank you.
Good. Everything's answered. Feel good. Yeah. You feel lighter now, right? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I feel lighter. And but there's more. Okay, so there's more that's going on. But thank you. Thank you. Thank
Is it important? Maybe we'll just do it next call or something. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No. It's about power. It's definitely about power. And
is it relevant? Do you think everybody is interested? Do you want to ask the question?
Just quick question, as fast as I can put the words in. There's a fear of power. I'm recognizing it. I do want more power. And I am recognizing that duality, and I want to understand how best to approach this module in terms of that hierarchy of fear.
Yeah, the fear is, this is something that I've been hearing from the beginning of the course, and I do know this is, again, it's an issue because everybody abused power. You did, everybody did. We all did, because when we're unconscious, we abuse power. We either are being abused by power or we abuse power in little ways, or let's say you budge a line, you know, because you're faster than the old lady and you get into the bus earlier or something. I mean, that's all abuse of power because you weren't in presence. So, and that's just normal. You have to, I think it's very good to just, that's not we all think we're like all these great people. We're nothing. We're neither good nor bad. We're just consciousness. We're infinity, and power is energy. And how much you have, the moment you have power, like everybody wants some power because they want good adrenals, right? You want good kidney chi. If not, don't be dead. Nothing works. Diseases happen. So you want people work out to have more energy and to feel good while they're accumulating power. Well, is that a bad thing? What are they going to do with that power? They can run faster than somebody else. Is that a bad thing? So we have to understand that this material world is not heaven. This is not heaven. This is where the strongest will always be stronger than the weaker. The weak, there's a strong and a weak, and this is a duality, just like being dead and alive or summer and winter. This cannot be stopped. You cannot superimpose heaven onto this gross experience here of the physicality. So you can either choose to have a lot of power that then gives you the ability to be in your core and gives you the wisdom to disseminate and utilize your power in the wisest way. Not having power at all will make you a victim, and you will die on this planet.
Yes, I had this experience. Thank you for that. I had this experience this week where I recognized that I am responsible for everything in my life. Mm. And as soon as I had that very conscious realization, I could feel power.
Mm-hmm.
And the power felt actually very good.
That's beautiful. I'm glad you had that experience. It feels very good because it's normal and natural.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much.
All right, good.
Thank you, Ratima.
You're welcome. Okay, so this is Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Ratima. I had something come up when you were talking to Rosemary. It was just crossed my mind really quickly. So it was about the rings of awareness and like being present in every moment. I was just kind of had a glimpse of wonder whether that kind of presence when you're fully present with, any emotion or thought that comes up where you're really aware of it, if that's kind of shifting rings a little bit, or if this is a bigger thing than that.
Can you ask that again? I just got distracted. I just noticed that I didn't click record. So this call, I'm just going to announce it, is there's always a backup recording. When the call is completely finished, so it won't be available right away, I will be posting the MP3 on the group call site. So I did hear about, when you're noticing something about emotions and you're aware of it, and then will that automatically shift you? Is that what you asked?
My question was more of the rings of awareness, like if that's a larger, if it's the same thing.
Thanks for repeating yourself. I apologize. A ring of awareness is a much larger because it's more like a dissolution rebirth. That's the slow process when you're dissolving as the one you know yourself, and then you kind of get rebirth, and there's something quite different about you. And so it's more like that because your level of awareness is what you identify yourself as. I am such and such. And, the person you were, let's say when you're 17, that ring of awareness, or the one when you were 7 and to today is totally radically different. It's almost like you can't even remember correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much more complete shift, just like when you are, when you wake up, which means is that you are really identifying as infinite awareness, and that's very real. It remains with you as an identification, and it remains permanent. That is a very dramatic shift. And whereas somebody who, let's say, the awareness that you are right now, and you go to sleep at night and you slip out of that awareness state into the infinite, and then in the morning wake up and you slip back into that ring of awareness that you're familiar with from like yesterday, there was, even if like let's say you have a certain emotion changed or this shifted or something, it hasn't really shifted the sense of who you are. It's not big enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Did that really answer your question?
Yeah, that was my question.
That was
your
question.
It was also interesting what you brought up, because I was kind of thinking to answer that when you become aware of the emotion or aware of the thoughts, like just because I was getting this kind of feeling of, since we are awareness and we're shining our light on that by becoming aware, that it does shift it.
It does shift it. That's correct. But there are quantum, it doesn't necessarily change your identification though.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, a lot of people, they go get healing sessions. It doesn't really shift who they are. That's what we call about healing and shifting. It's a kind of different things. You can heal and heal and heal. At some point, there's so much healing that took place that it does give a radical shift. There's something that it's almost, some kind of a mathematical, like, you know, a threshold that gets hit, and then suddenly something shifts, and it can't hold that old structure anymore, and suddenly you become a new version of yourself. That's why it's good. That's why healing, if you're really consistently, truly clear, and keep clearing and clearing and clearing, like the process of elimination, it takes you into a true shift, because there is this law of something just disintegrates at some point. It can't hold it together. It's like a house. You take away some walls, some windows, and this and that. At some point, the whole thing, the structure collapses. There's a point of no return. Yeah?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, last person is Antonia. Hi, Antonia.
Hi, Atima.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, it's such a beautiful and amazing call.
I know, everybody loves the power stuff, right? It's so much fun.
Oh my goodness, yes. So much fun, so much information. I think something happened yesterday. Either something in my subconscious that I was not aware of, but all of a sudden I became very angry.
You became what? Very what?
Angry. Angry.
Okay.
And stay with me all night and this morning, and I haven't felt that way for a long time.
Yeah, that's then you have lots of you know, like Shelley has a lot of things move through, and then you, let's say, have a big chunk suddenly move through, right? It's like different variations of clearing, you could say.
Yeah.
Can you be with it? Is it okay to just be with it?
I've been with it. I've been with it. I wanted to cry. I wanted to scream. I thought I was feeling pretty good for quite some time, and maybe I got too comfortable with that feeling. And then when this arose last night, I was like, what is this? I don't like that feeling.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. You don't like that feeling. Of course, we don't like certain feelings. We have an aversion, but that's where the work comes in. Oh, somebody's crying, screaming there.
Yes, my granddaughter. She's upstairs. My mom is with her. The mom
okay.
is with her. Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah.
You basically, that's when you work with yourself and realize, I have an aversion to this. So, okay. You can put in, if this is easy for you, a new habit that you just say, you put your hands together, namaste, and just thank you, God, you know, because you're being delivered another karma to digest. And you have to integrate. So thank you. I'm not done yet, right? Okay. So, and you just, it's basically you're evolving, so it's a good thing, right? And the other thing is also, let's say you have a long phase of, absolute bliss. It can go on for long times. Like I spoke about, you know, even in the enlightened state, you remain attentive, and because you don't know what else there is. We don't know. There's a mystery to this universe. So knowing that anything can happen, but because we have free will, we have faith and put our attention on that all is well, and that, you know, that's where the devotional aspect comes in. I'm shifting a little bit here out of this very strict power module, is that it is a safe place then, let's say you're in a good place, you're awake, you're blissful and all this, to remain devotional to the good, you know, call it God or the goodness or whatever, because that locks you into something that there's a law of the universe is that you're always a creator. You create with your awareness, you know, and you don't want to have it randomly do what it, you know, you don't want to randomly recreate something that's more dense.
My goodness, you're so full of wisdom this morning. Oh my goodness,
what was that? What?
You are so full of wisdom. every word that is coming out of your mouth is so right on, like it.
I just did the work, you know, many lifetimes and this lifetime, and I like to inspire, and I do inspire others to do the same, and so I know you can do it too. I'm just a normal person like you, and you just have to keep at it. And everybody has different talents and strengths and weaknesses. You have certain strengths that I might not have, and I have certain strengths you might not have. So be also aware of where your strengths lie. Use them on this path, you know. And work on the weaknesses too, make them stronger, so that then you don't have to suffer so much. All right.
Thank you very much, Anatina.
Thanks, Antonia. Thanks. Bye. Okay. So good. Let's thanks for all the contribution today. Let's sit for a few minutes again here, quietly, and taking deep breath. Oxygen energy is also power, just taking it in and then breathing out everything that doesn't serve you anymore, and then breathing in and breathing out, and again breathing in light and breathing out. And we're just going to be quiet, and I will end with Om Shanti. And then leave the call. I'm actually guided to chant a mantra here. Hari Om Tat Sat. 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 Hari Om Tat Sat.
Moderator has left the conference.